Today we're going to look at how to identify and use inconsistencies when you're in a conversation. Stay tuned on Unapologetic. Last summer, my wife and I spent some time in California, driving up the coast, going to Yosemite. It was a great time. And one of our stops towards the end was near the Monterey Bay Aquarium. And the day before we went there, we were hiking some coastal area by the water with awesome redwood trees and that type of thing. And the people that were on our trip were interesting. We had people from all over the country. And one lady was talking about how excited she was to actually move to the area and volunteer at the aquarium and help rehabilitate sea lions. At this time, at least, I don't know if it's changed, but they actually were having trouble surviving. There was a deficit of food, and it was pretty cutthroat for which sea lions could survive. And at that point, it seemed like there was a sea lion who'd actually given birth to twins. And as I understand that, this is extremely odd and rare and unheard of. And the mother only had enough milk to nurse one of them. And so the aquarium was taking care of the other. And this woman was very concerned, extremely concerned, about this sea lion, the twin that the mother hadn't had enough milk for. And so she was excited to go see it the next day to hopefully volunteer and rehabilitate it. And you know, in the time of talking with her and listening to her talk with other people on our little hike, it became apparent to me that in a classical kind of conservative liberal sense, she was pretty liberal on social issues. But she is so concerned about this sea lion. And now I'm guessing with this next point, but I think it's a pretty fair guess that this woman is probably pro-choice. In fact, having listened to her, she's probably pro-abortion. Now, that is a guess about her position. She didn't explicitly state that. But there are certainly people who have a very high view of animals, a very high view of endangered animals, where we should spend lots of money, lots of time, and to protect them. But they don't have nearly as high of a view of the unborn. And so they don't think a woman needs to give a reason for why she should be able to kill her unborn child. And this is an inconsistency, because what it's saying is you can kill human life without any justification, without any reason needed to be given. But you can't kill this other type of life, this animal, and indeed you should even do all that you can to protect it. And that's inconsistent. So this week when I saw the story about the child who had gotten into a gorilla's cage and the gorilla had been holding this child and handling him, and there was this great concern that the gorilla could actually tear the child apart or kill or gravely harm the child, the gorilla was killed. And in my own Facebook feed, I have seen comments where the people objected to this, strongly objected, saying that the gorilla was just as important, just as valuable as that child. So why didn't we try to do more to save the gorilla? And I want us to think through this together. A lot has been said about it, but there are two points I want to kind of bring out in this story. And my goal is going to be to find inconsistency in the person's position. In a logical argument, inconsistency is a sign of a failed argument. And I would say, in a worldview, inconsistent positions are an indicator of a bad worldview, of holding an incorrect view of reality. I've had conversations with people in the past, and they've actually admitted that they hold many points that don't fit together. And my question to them is, then why do you believe them? Why would you fight to hold on to these contradictory points, because some or all of them are assuredly false because they contradict each other. And so the reason we should identify inconsistency in someone's worldview, in someone's position, is because it gives us an avenue to have a conversation, to ask a question on how they reason through this, and to ultimately show them that the Christian worldview is consistent. It is internally consistent. It doesn't contradict itself. And it, as a result, it's true. And their worldview with its contradictions does not explain reality as well as the Christian worldview. So let's use the gorilla as an example. And for the person who is pro-abortion and who thinks that the gorilla is just as valuable as the unborn human being, here's my question. You know, I've listened to everything you've said, and I'm curious. Why do we need to give a reason for why we can kill the gorilla? Well, because it's such a valuable animal and it's endangered and it shouldn't have been locked up to start with. I said, but here's my question. If it's just as valuable as the unborn human being and you don't believe we need to give a reason for why we can kill it, then why do we need to give a reason for why we can kill the gorilla if they're just as valuable? And I'm just trying to understand where you're coming from here. And it's going to be interesting to see how this person tries to reason through this. Now, they might say that they're not in favor of killing born children, and the gorilla is born. So, I would ask them, since the gorilla is endangered, would you be okay if we killed pre-born gorillas? Would that be okay? Is it just as wrong to kill a pregnant born gorilla as it is a non-pregnant unborn gorilla? And I'm going to want to see how they reason through this. Because what they're going to end up doing for this type of person is making the gorilla seem more important than the unborn child. They're going to say they're just as important, but they don't treat them the same. Because they're going to say that, yes, you need reasons for why you can kill it, and good reasons. But we don't need reasons for the unborn. Or the unborn gorilla is really important, but the unborn human is not. And my question is going to be, what's different? Because what they can't try to do is what sometimes pro-abortion people do and say, well, when the child is born, it becomes a person. We haven't talked about personhood on this podcast before, but it's largely a red herring. It's a distraction. It doesn't really mean anything because it's subjectively defined to the pro-abortion type person. It definitely has a meaning in the Christian worldview, but they don't use it that way. And so my point's going to be is, what actually changes from the pre-born gorilla to the post-born gorilla? Does anything change? I don't think it does. And so this is an inconsistency. And I'm going to ask them, why are you treating this animal as more valuable than your child was before he or she was born? Or as more valuable than your born child? Are you really telling me that this gorilla is just as valuable as your son sitting in the other room? And how did you come to that conclusion? I'm going to want them to explain that. And what we're seeing here in this whole issue of gorillas and all of this is what happens when a Christian worldview is not the foundation for how you view reality. Because you can't ultimately make sense of the difference in man and animal. You can't make sense of the value and innate worth that man has. And what you're going to be left with is inconsistency. And so the first inconsistency that we just looked at is that if the gorilla is just as valuable as the unborn human being, and you're a pro-abortion advocate, then we shouldn't need to give reasons for why we can kill the gorilla. Here's the second point I want to make. A lot of these people who are getting upset about the gorilla, who maybe hold the first view we looked at, probably also have an evolutionary view of our origins, of how we got to be here. That man is actually evolved from something in the gorilla family or ape family. And that oftentimes such a person would also believe that morality comes through evolution, that just as we have evolved, morality has evolved. And so here's going to be my question for that type of person. Well, the gorilla was threatening a more advanced life form, right? Like objectively, on a scientific view of things, humans are more advanced, right? We are more evolved. And so if that's true, then how is it wrong for the more evolved animal to kill the less evolved animal, on your view? And it's going to be interesting to hear them try and reason through that. And whatever they say, I'm going to ask them to support it. How did you come to that conclusion? Why should I believe that? I'm going to use our Columbo questions here. Because what's interesting is, on an evolutionary view where the more fit survive, there's no such thing as actual good or bad, right or wrong. It's just fit and unfit, more fit and less fit. And so what happened with the gorilla and the child is a more fit being killed a less fit being. And on an evolutionary view, how could that possibly be wrong? Another way to look at it is a less fit being was threatening a more fit being. So if more fit is more better, forgive the poor grammar, then wouldn't it still be okay to kill the less fit being that's threatening the more fit being? And yeah, that sounds a little convoluted, but you know what's interesting is they're not being consistent. If you have an evolutionary view of the world, then gorilla is not just as important as man. Even if you deny the fact that man is created in God's image, man is still more evolved than the gorilla. He's still more advanced. So how could the gorilla be just as valuable? He can't. And these type of ways of thinking about things come with time. And I didn't always see these types of parallels and inconsistencies in worldviews. I had to start thinking about them. I had to start paying attention when people talked. But it's important because it gives you the opportunity to ask a question on how someone comes to that conclusion. How do you support the idea that the unborn is just as valuable as a gorilla, or that the actual born child is just as valuable as the gorilla? Okay, so you hear their answer. Now, do you believe in evolution? Well, I do. So if evolution is based on the natural selection, survival of the fittest, then how would it be wrong for the more fit human to kill the less fit gorilla? There's not an answer to that that actually consistently fits in a non-Christian worldview. And that's what we want to actually show consistently, that the Christian worldview is internally consistent, that its pieces fit together, that they don't contradict each other. Now, internal consistency alone does not mean something is true. There are some great fiction novels that are incredibly internally consistent in their fictional worlds, but obviously they're fictional. However, lack of internal consistency rules something out. So if it's not internally consistent, if it contradicts itself or another part of the view, then some or all of it is false. And we shouldn't hold false views. We shouldn't just hold a view because we like it. We should hold it because it's true. And so what I want to show someone when I talk with them is that my view of reality, my worldview, supported by scripture, founded on the idea that God exists and created us, makes more sense of why I'm here, how I know what I know, how I know right and wrong, and how I should live than theirs does. And wouldn't they want to have a view of reality that's true and not false, that's true and not internally contradictory? That's the argument I'm going to make in that type of situation. But I'm going to do it through questions. I'm going to use questions to show the inconsistency in their view and to show the consistency in mine. All because I want to have a conversation that ultimately, at some point, maybe a day later, maybe a year later, ends with the fact that it's consistent to believe that God exists. It's consistent to believe that since God exists, he could raise Jesus from the dead. And it's consistent to believe that for a God who could raise Jesus from the dead, he can surely forgive our sins. So consistency is paramount. It's how we should evaluate all the claims that we hear. Consistency alone doesn't make them true, but it does tell us when they're false. Thanks for spending this time with me. I have a great list of topics lined up for podcasts this summer. I'm excited to share them with you. We're going to talk about God and suffering. We're going to talk about our desires. Can even our desires be sinful? Are we sinful innately, or how does that work? We'll talk about, does Jesus save us from God? Or is he a savior from something else? We'll talk about doubt. We'll talk about taking the Bible literally. We have a great list of topics lined up. And so I hope you'll share this podcast with other people. If it's benefited you, send someone a link, post it on Facebook, share it on Twitter. And if you're listening by podcast and you'd like to get emails, you can go to my website, briansegraves.com, and sign up on the right-hand side to get new content emailed to you as soon as it comes out. Well, I look forward to talking with you next week on Unapologetic.